We're holding on Kofama Days, beginning the 12th Perek of On Sata. We're going to start talking about the dinim of the mincha became chome, or otherwise puzzle, what we can do with it, whether we're able to be poge, and then the rest of the Perek is going to deal with various miscellaneous dinim in terms of what a person is able to bring as in a dava for a mincha, what kind of menachas. And a person bringers in a dava, and different variations within that. So the Mishnah says, a menachas van nisachim shenitmu, if menachas or nisachim became tomei, ad shalei kodshu b'kli, if they became tomei before they were placed in a kli sharis. Yesh lehem pidyon, so now we're able to be poyed to them, because now they don't have kedushas aguf yet, now they only have kedushas dam. Now they only have kedushas damim. And therefore, so you're able to be part of them. We'll see in the Tosfos points out. We're going to see in the Gemara whether what about if they didn't become Tame? What if they were still Tahar? Are you able to be part of them at that point before they were placed in a Kli Sharis? Misha Kidshu B'Kli. But once they were placed in a Kli Sharis, any man pidyon, then you can no longer be part of them. Instead, if they became Tame, then you're going to have to burn them. The idea being, as we're going to say in the Gemara, the idea is the Torah tells us about the concept of being poyda, kodshim that became possible, but primarily that applies once they have kedushas aguf, but that applies only to animals. The Torah mentioned whatever they are in connection with animals, and the Torah uses the expression behemet. You should stand it up in front of the kohen, beherich, and the kohen will evaluate its value, and then based on that, you'll report to them. So that applies only to animals, as we're going to see, not to broods, and not to menachos and other such things. There's a difference. Achronim talk about a point where an animal, as soon as you mark the shit, it's already ready to be able, actually, the Raiga, the ready Arishin, brings this point that an animal, as soon as you say that this is going to be a korban, you could conceivably bring it right away as a korban, as opposed to the other things that the Mishnah is mentioning over here, menachas, and other things, you would have to do something else. Say, for example, the mincha, you'd first have to mix it with oil, and then Achronim talk about, is that necessarily the distinction, and they talk about other reasons to draw that distinction. But anyway, that's how it is. The Torah tells us that you can do ha'amodah v'ha'arachah, stand up the animal and have the koyin or a bunch of koyin, whatever, evaluate it and decide the value, and then you pay that amount to hekdesh, but that doesn't apply to menachas and other such things. So therefore, the Mishnah continues. Ha'menachas fanis sachem shenitmu. So the Mishnah continues, are oifis, birds, or etim, wood that you were going to put on them as there, for alavoina, and lavoina, or clay shardis, and the clay shardis themselves, that are used for this, for the avoida and the mismekesh, mishinitmu, once they became tame, and emahem pidyon, then those cannot be nifta, those cannot be brought back from hekdesh, so they never pidyon elegant behemoth, because the whole concept of pidyon is, applies only to an animal. Now, this is what we're talking about. Tosfos points out this would apply where you were makdish them and then they developed a mum or otherwise became unavailable. We use the expression mishinitmu over here. Birds don't become tame per se, but it means, in other words, that they got a mum, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that a bal mum is called tame. But in any case, if there was a mum in them before you were makdish them, then yes, you could be poyed to them, because then they never got kedusha aguf in the first place. In the case of birds, actually, it's not a mum per se, small mumim, we've learned before, don't pass on birds, only large mumim, like with mechusar eva, where it's lacking an entire limb, or we've learned before that Tosfos discusses, does that mean the limb is actually lacking altogether, or even that it's not functional? Say, for example, a bird is blinded in one eye, but the eye still actually exists. Would that be considered mechusar eva or not? So the Gemara starts off, Omer Shmuel v'afilein tehorim niftin. Now Shmuel says, when we're saying in the Mishnah that when they became tomei, before they were placed in a kli sharis, then you can be poyed to them. So Shmuel says it's not only if they became tomei, even if they were still tahor, as long as you didn't put them in a kli sharis, says Shmuel, you would be able to be poyed to them. My timer. Now, why is that? Because Shmuel holds, Kamut like Kadsha B'Kli, as long as they haven't been placed in a keli and made Kodesh, Kedushas Domin Yinu, then they only have Kedushas Domin. They only have it. The monetary value of them belongs to Hekdesh. Or Kedushas Domin, Niftin, and then we know the general rule that anything that has Kedushas Domin can be redeemed. When the Torah talks about Ha'amodah V'Ha'arocha, it's talking about only things that have Kedushas Aguf, such as Korbanos. But here it wasn't yet given its full kedusha by being placed in a clear charis. So therefore you're able to be part of that. Well, the Gemara says, what do you mean b'ha nitmu? Now, the Mishnah had said that nitmu were implying only if they became tamei. So how is Shmuel understanding that? And the answer is, what did Afgab b'lo nitmu? Fine, the Mishnah doesn't mean to exclude the case, the point said, or Shmuel would say, that the Mishnah is not excluding the case where it didn't become tamei. The fact is, before it was placed in a klisharis, you could be poed there anytime you want. The idea of going Mishnah Sefer, however, since the Mishnah is going to go on and say, Mishnah Kidshul B'Kli, in my opinion, once they were made holy in a Keli, then you can't redeem them. And there, the fact is, after the Nidmu, Nami Loi, and there, once it was placed in a Kli Shardis, it becomes Tomei afterward. So even if it's Tomei, you still can't repair there. Therefore, the Mishnah in the first part mentions the case where it became Tomei before it was placed in a Keli, but in fact, the Din would actually be, says Shmuel is saying, you could be put there any time, whether it's Tomei or not. When it comes to after it was placed in a Keli, then it's too late to be put there, even if it became Tomei, but before it was placed in a Keli, you can be put there no matter what. Well, then the Gemara says, Shita, well, then in that case, what would be the Chiddush? Not what would be the Chiddush of Shmuel's statement, obviously, was a big Chiddush in that, but what would be the Chiddush that the Mishnah would have to be telling us that that once they were placed in a Kli Shardis, they can't be redeemed anymore, Kedush HaGuf. You know, at that point, they have Kedush HaGuf, and we know that anything that has Kedush HaGuf, you're not able to be targeted. And the answer is, it's still, we need the Mishnah to tell us that, and therefore also to tell us the first part of the Mishnah in parallel with it. Otherwise, you might have thought, because we find, as the Gemara is going to show soon, that an animal, a balmum, is called Tomei. So we could argue also the other way around. Tomei nami, ke balmum nami. Then we could argue it goes the other way as well, of korban that became Tomei. And would also be considered like a balmum, and the afagab de kodesh, and the fact that the kodesh kedushas aguf, and we know with a korban, with an animal for a korban, even if it has kedushas aguf, once it has a mum, kenofobe mum, mifrit, then you could redeem it, hani nami mifrit. So now you should all do the same thing. We know, we've had in Zvachim, that if an animal for a korban develops a mum, even though it had kedushas aguf, you're still able to be poridah. That's the samod of haracha that we talked about before. So you would generalize from that and say that any other korban, which is apostle, we would also call tomei, just as we call a bal mum tomei, and therefore we should be able to be poridah. Kamash mum, therefore the Tana needs to tell us, the last yihai tomei kairi rachman ala bal mum. When the Torah speaks of a bal mum and calls it tomei, it doesn't mean that kind of tomei. It's not really tomei as in tumma v'kara. It's a different kind of tumma. Meaning, in other words, we use the word tomei and tahar after all, not just to mean tomei as in you touch it or it touches food or whatever. Then the thing that touched it will become so that it can transmit tumma from one thing to another. We know we use the word tomei, for example, behemoth tmeya, a non-kosher animal, is called tomei as well, but it's not matame, a person, or it's not, at least while it's alive, it's not matame, a person who touches it or carries it or whatever. So we're saying, yes, a bal mum is called tumah, but it's not that kind of tumah. The miklei shoris by ashkachan the mifrit. The fact is, we do not find that kodshim should be able to be redeemed after they became holy with a kli shoris. Now, in the case of animal korbanis, you shecht it, then you can no longer redeem it. So that we see, in other words, even though you are able to be poida, an animal that's an animal of kodshim that became a bal mum, but if you shechted it already, then you cannot. So therefore, the rule is going to be, whenever something became holy in a kli sharis, then you can no longer be put there. Well, very well, an animal, as long as it's alive, there's no kli sharis involved. When you shecht it, there's a kli sharis involved. Now, where Tosfos discusses over here and in other places, does the knife itself have to be a kli sharis? If you say that the knife you shefted with has to be a kli sharis, okay, well, then that explains it. Then we're talking about that you use the knife, which is a kli sharis on it. But even if not, the point is, it's still, that gives it its final kedusha, kind of. And therefore, at that point, you can't be pro-dad anymore. Now, you do have the underlying idea. The Torah is telling us you need ha'amodah v'harochah. You need to be able to stand the animal up in front of the kohenim, and they should evaluate it once it was shechted. Obviously, you can't do that. But the rationale behind that would be, it's not just zeres hakasu. The logic is because at that point, it's been made holy with a kli shoris, namely by being shechted. So yes, you could be poda an animal bamboom, but you can't be poda any animal after it was shechted. And therefore, the rule is going to be that anytime there's a kli shoris involved, you can. Before we should discuss actually, so what are we talking about? I mean, are we talking about you shechted it when it had a mum, or are we talking about maybe conceivably that it got a mum between the shechta and the zrika? And now we learned back in Zvachim, for example, that the animal has to remain intact until you do the Kabbalah for them. You have to be able to receive it from an intact animal. So suppose you had that somebody shechted the animal, and before they had it, in a few seconds before they can do the Kabbalah, then somebody cut off a limb of it or whatever and made it a Baal Mum. That could be what we're talking about. So then we're saying it's too late to be part of it. Another possibility it's talked about is that there are minor kinds of mumim that we learned in Zvachim that we said that Rav Akiva and says, even though you're not supposed to offer such korbanos, but for the Yevid, if you did, you don't take them off the Mizbeach. So the point is that now they do have Kedush Taguf, and you can't be part of it. Anyway, the point is, in other words, that you could think to draw an analogy with the animals that are a Baal Mum, but the fact is, even a Baal Mum, you can't be poyda once a kli shoris was involved, and therefore, by the same logic, these other korbanos, the menachos and so forth, even though because a keli is involved, a kli shoris is involved, therefore you can't be poyda that anymore. Okay, so the Gemara says a Baal Mum hecha ikri tamei. Okay, where exactly do we find that a Baal Mum is called tamei? So the answer is the Tanya. We learn in a Braisa. The Torah tells us, and in Parshas Bechukotai, the last section of Parshas Bechukotai talks about various dinim involving korbanos and hekdesh in general. And the pasuk says, "V'imkol behema tmeya, if any tamei animal, asher lo yakrivim ben a korban l'Hashem, from which a korban cannot be brought to Hashem, then if a person is makdish, then we say that you stand it up in front of the kohenim and they evaluate it and you pay the value to the bais hamikdash." So in other words, it had to be domim, and you're buying it, you're being poured it from hekdesh. Well, so the Braisa says, "Bibali mumen shenifta nakos medaber." The Torah is talking about not a behemoth tmeya as in a horse or a camel, but rather tmeya in the sense that it's a baal mum, and you can't offer it on the mizbeach. After only bibali mumen, or you're saying that it means baal shei potu. So you're saying that it means. So bibali mumen shenifta nakos medaber. The Torah is talking about bibali mumen that can be redeemed. After only bali mumim shi podu, so you're saying that that's what it means, bali mumim, and that you can redeem them. Or in el of a behemoth tmeya mamish, maybe it means an actual behemoth tmeya, a person was makdish, a horse or a donkey or whatever. No, true omer, because you have later on in that same section, the imba behemoth tmeyo fodder verkacha, that if the person was makdish, a non-kosher animal, then you redeem it at its value. Had a behemoth tmeya, Amura Sadeh was talking about an actual behemoth tmeya. So in other words, not obviously a person was not makdish a horse as a korban, but in other words, a person was makdish a horse through bedekah bites, let's say. So now the horse is worth $1,000. If somebody else wants to buy it from hekdesh, then you gotta pay $1,000 to hekdesh. Okay, if you're the owner, you also have to pay a choymish. We're not getting into that right now. So that later pasuk is actually talking about a horse or whatever. So that's talking about actual behemoth tmeya. Palmani Makayim, the imko behemoth tmeya. So what does it mean when the pasuk says earlier, if it was a behemoth tmeya that you can't bring as a korban, and the baal mum and she podra kos medaver. There the Torah is referring to a baal mum and not to a non-kosher species, but rather you were makdish a cow as a korban, and now it develops a mum, so now you're able to be poded. So the Rambam actually points out as a practical thing. Also, you know, you can actually see it from the Rambam points out in Pirush Mishnayos. You know, you have the Torah doesn't just say behemoth tmeya. It says asher lo yakrivu mimena korban l'Hashem, that you cannot bring from it as korban to Hashem. Now, if it was talking about an actual non-kosher species, the Torah wouldn't need to say that. Of course, you can't bring horses or donkeys or camels or whatever as korbanos. Necessarily, therefore, it means the species is indeed valid for a korban, but this particular one is not because it has a mum. And the Torah is saying that you can be poikas. Now, So Yochel, the Braisa continues, Yochel Yipodu Afal Mum Oiver. Now you would think that maybe you could be Poder the animal, even if it only developed a temporary mum. So therefore that's why the pasuk continues with these words, Asher lo yakriv men a korban l'Hashem, that you cannot bring a korban from it to Hashem, from which you learn. It means Mishain Tzeva l'Hashem Kolikr, one where it cannot be brought to Hashem as a korban at all. Never. Because the mum is never going to heal. Yot Sezusha in a kreva hayyim or kreva l'mochar. However, that excludes this case. You can't bring it as a korban today. It is true, but you can't say lo yakrivu menu. You will not be able to bring a korban from it in the future because eventually the mum will be healed and you'll be able to bring it. So we see the Torah is clearly telling us that you can be poda bal mum, but again only as long as it's alive, not after you shechted it. But the fact is, the Torah is calling it Tomei. So again, you would have thought to say the same thing, Menachos and whatnot, that become Tomei should have the same din, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us that you cannot be poda them once they're replaced in a klisharis. And after all, we're saying even the animal balmum, you can't be poda either after a klisharis was involved, namely that they were shechted. Okay. So the most is Moshe Rav Huna Bar Manoach. So Rav Huna Bar Manoach says I have a contradiction on all this. The Mishnah had said her oifus. Birds, or wood, or levoina, or the clay shardis themselves that became tummy, ain't lehem pidyon, you can't redeem any of them. So I never pidyon, ever the behema, because when the Torah talks about being poida, it talks only about animals. So what the Torah talks about over there, in other words, when we talk about things that has kedusha, like goof, kedusha is domin, you can redeem anything from Hester, when it only has monetary kedusha. But when you're talking about kedusha, like goof, then the Torah is telling you only an animal can you be poida. Now, the Shlema Oifus, I can understand why birds, you can't be poida because Kedusha Zaguf Ninu, because they have Kedusha Zaguf. They themselves are offered on the Mizbeach. V'lo Nema Ela B'Behema. And again, we're saying that when it comes to things that have Kedusha Zaguf, the only ones that can be poida are animals, that's the Xeris HaKosov. Ela Eitzim Levoina, or Clay Shardis, but what about the other three things? The wood, the Levoina, the Clay Shardis, they don't have Kedusha Zaguf in the first place. The Eitzim and Levoina aren't. The Eitzim and the wood and the Levoina are not placed in a klisharis, so the rule of having been placed in a klisharis doesn't apply to them, and they don't have kedushas aguf. Rashi also adds, and Rabbi Nagershim also says they're machshirei korban. They're only something that comes as an adjunct to a korban. They're not a korban by themselves. Now, wood and levoina we have learned before, and we're going to learn later on that it is possible for a person to donate wood by itself to the Bais Mikdash and levoina by itself as a korban. But nevertheless, though, basically they come as. Basically, they come as auxiliaries to a korban. But more to the point, anyway, they're not placed in a clay shardis necessarily. And the clay shardis themselves, are not considered to have kedusha zaguf because they themselves are not brought as a korban. They're used to bring the korbanos. So by Shmuel's logic, lifriku, we should be able to be poyed to them. If the rule is any time they were placed in a clay shardis, then we can't be poyed to them. But if beforehand. But if they were not yet placed in a klisharis, then you could. So then why is the Mishnah telling us flat out that you can't be poida the eitzim and the levoina and the klisharis? You should be able to. So lifriku, they should be able to be redeemed. Elalav mishum tahor and ba'alma. Evidently. So evidently it must be that no, the reason is because anything that's tahor cannot be redeemed even before it was placed in a klisharis. So not like Shmuel is saying, Bahani Nami, Afagav the Nidmu. Well then, these things that we're talking about over here, even if they do become tummy, ketahorim domu, in effect they're considered, on the contrary, like they're tahor, because how do they become tummy in the first place? Let's go through them. The Eitzim and Levoina, when it comes to the Eitzim and Levoina, they shouldn't be able to become Tomei. After all, they're not food. Tuma and Tara really only apply to food and Kalim. Fine, we'll talk about the Clay Shardis in a minute. But when it comes to non-Kalim items, what is it that becomes Tomei? Only food. Wood and Levoina are not food. And the only reason they're even able to become Tomei in the first place, Ela, Chibas HaKodesh Meshavi Lahu Ochla, only the fact that Chibas HaKodesh, the preciousness of Kodesh, meaning the fact that Kodesh is extra holy, Kodeshim are extra holy, and therefore the Chachamim made a rule that such things are able to be Makabel Tumah. So in other words, we consider in effect as though they are food, as though they're able to be eaten, even though they're not. Now, the Gemara does elsewhere bring a posse to say that they're able to become tummy, because the posse says vehabosser, and we learn from the word vehabosser itself, or from the extra vav. But nevertheless, it's still only a psul de rabbanan. It's still only an esnai. Tosfos says there's a long Tosfos over here that discusses various ins and outs of our sugya over here, and Tosfos says that no, actually, it could mean there is a case where they become able to be mekabel truma on a daraisa level, but that would only be after they're placed in a kli shartis. Before they're placed in a kli shartis, we would say that they're able to become tamei because of chibas hakodesh only dirabanan. Well, then that's the question. So either according to Rashi, they're not able to be mekabel truma on a daraisa level. Period. The whole thing is only dirabanan. According to Tosfos, only after they're placed in a kli shartis. Ella, so it's only chibas hakodesh meshavu l'hulocha. Only that chibas hakodesh makes them able to be mekabel truma. But nevertheless, you still can't bring them to the Mizbeach yet. You still need to do one more thing. The Eitzim, the fact is that the wood, Hamadal and Mishapi Lahula Gizrin, until you cut them and shape them into the pieces of wood that are going to be used on the Maracha. Then just use random pieces of wood on the Maracha. The Gemara mentions in Zvachim that they would cut them to the size of an Amma, and they were an Amma in length, and they had a certain specific width and then width and thickness as well. So only then do they become usable on the Maracha. Lavoina Nami and Lavoina as well. Kamadala Kitchab Klishardis Lemiskashra. Until you put in a Klishardis, it doesn't become kosher to be offered on the Mizbeach. And yet the Mishnah is telling us that you can't be poured to them. Now, Shmuel's rule is that you could be poured to them as long as they're not in a Klisharis, then that doesn't fit with what we're saying. The reason would be, even though they're tahor, even though they're tahor, apparently the Mishnah is implying that you can't be poured to them, because just as flat out you can't, without distinguishing between whether in a Klisharis or not. And we're saying, in other words, that even after they become Tomei, we still consider them like tahor, because the fact that they should be able to be mekabel truma is only dirabanan, or at least only dirabanan until they're placed in a kli shartis, because in any case, when would they be able to be mekabel truma? Only when they're shaped to fit the ma'arofa, and lavoina only when it's placed in a kli shartis. A kli shartis nami, and the kli shartis themselves, toivel v'islu tara b'mikveh. After all, you could toivel them in a mikveh, and therefore you can argue that the fact that they become tome is not reason enough to be part of them. So we see, in other words, we see from the wording of the Mishnah that in fact, when they're tahor, they cannot be redeemed. And we're saying, even if they became tome, that's not enough to allow us to be poured to them for the reasons that we just discussed, because they're not actually in the Kabbal Tumah yet, at least only on the bottom level, or because even if they are on the Kabbal Tumah, such as the Kalim, then you could be poured to them. Tosfos, by the way, gets into the question when we're talking about shaping and then cutting the Atzei Ma'arocha, this wood, to be the exact shape of the exact shape and size that they're supposed to be on the Mizbeach. The question is, Tosfos discusses in some detail that you're using some kind of woodworking tool for it, such as an axe. Are the axes that we're talking about, in fact, a kli shartis? If they're not a kli shartis, then how is it giving the wood any kedusha anyway? And then Tosfos gets into a discussion about the, in general, when we talk about these kinds of axes, for these things, are they considered a kli shartis or not? So the question is, Rav Huna bar Manoach is saying the implication of the Mishnah. The implication is that you can't be poured to them because they're still tahor, and because even if they become tamei, then it doesn't matter. So then that flat out contradicts Shmuel, who says that when they're tahor, as long as they weren't placed in a kli shartis, then you can be poured to them. So the answer is loy, that's not the implication of the Mishnah. Lo'olam emaloch tahorin ba'alman niftin. You could in fact say that when they're tahor, then they could be, you could poured to them, so it would still fit with Shmuel. Vahani, the only reason why, when it comes to Eitzim Olavoina, so we're arguing then, why shouldn't you be able to be poured to Eitzim Olavoina before they're placed in a kli shartis? The answer would be Mishum Galosh Shishibu. The only reason would be because it's not so common that, you're going to be able to get ones that are glory for the Mizbeach. So in other words, it will be Gzeira Dirabbano. That we don't want to be toy to them because we want to, if we do that, we may not so easily, if we toy to them, when they're tahor, the Gizborin may not be able to find other wuru, other levoina that they need for the avodah. So therefore, as long as they're tahor, then the chamse can't be toy, then you can't be toy to them. Well, so that's it. Shlema Levoina or Klei Sharis. I can understand that with Levoina and Klei Sharis. I can understand. Lo Shlishi, they're taka not that common. Levoina, after all, is a spice. It's called frankincense in English, and it comes from faraway places. It's imported. It's quite extensive and not necessarily so easy to find. So if you have a quantity of Levoina that somebody was makdish, then you don't want them to be toyed while it's tahor as a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. And the Klei Sharis also, you know, I mean, they're fancy kalim. They're generally made out of gold and silver. You can understand that. Maybe once you have one, that is it. Once you have one that's tahor, we don't want to so easily allow it to be nifta and be taken out of hekdesh. What's the problem with wood? Mishkach shishi, there's plenty of wood available. Fine, we can't use every type of wood for the mizbeach. The Mishnah mentions in Talmud, I think, that there are only that you can't use wood from certain kinds of trees for the mizbeach, and then there are certain kinds that are more preferable than others. But there's lots of that kind of wood available. And the answer is no. Eitzim nami. After all, with wood also kivin to amamar, we learn in a Mishnah in Midas called eitz shenimtza by telas possible gabi amizbeach. Any wood that has a worm in it, and it's possible for the Mizbeach, it's considered, in effect, a balmum. So therefore you can consider that wood that's of good quality, not free of worms, that you can use for the Mizbeach, is taka less common. So when you have wood that is kosher for the Mizbeach, So as long as it's tahor, midrabanan, we don't want you to be toyed it because we want to be able to, we finally have wood that's available for the mizbeach, we want to keep it that way. And then the Mishnah is telling us that if they become tameh, then again, midaraisa, they would in fact be able to, midaraisa, they're not even able to become tameh, according to Rashi, or at least not until they're placed in a pleat shoris, according to Tosfos. So we're still going to maintain the rule that we cannot be toyed to them at that point, even though, in fact, we can't use them on the Mizbeach anymore. The point is, in other words, that we could say the Mishnah is not saying don't be toyed to them when they're tahor. Which is what Rav Huna Bar Manoach was trying to infer from the Mishnah. No, in fact, you could be toyed to them when they're tahor, but only midrabanan. We don't want you to for the reasons that we just said. Now, so the Gemara continues. Amara Papa. Now, if Shmuel had heard what it says in the following Braisa, then he would have said differently. Namely, the Braisa says her papa, if a person takes tmimim, animals that are tamim, a behemoth tahora, one that's perfectly kosher for a korban, and he designates it for bedekabayis. Now, you're not allowed to do that. When you have an animal that's tamim, you're not allowed to be makdish it only for kedushas domim, only for its monetary value, which is what kedushas bedek abayis is. Bedek abayis just means, in other words, it'll belong to the treasury, the bris mikdash, and the gizborim, whenever they're ready to, they will sell it, and they'll use the money towards the upkeep and the maintenance of the bris mikdash. But you're not allowed to do that with an animal that's usable for a korban. Instead, if you're going to be makdish it, you have to be makdish it with kedushas and guf, that it should be brought as a korban. So now, if a person does that anyway, so even though he's not allowed to do that, so the fact is, the producer, so he's over on an essay and doing that, and then maybe he's over on a loisa as well. The point is, in other words, that nevertheless still has an effect. So it does have kedushas domim. Ein poydenois and elo lemizbeach. When you're going to buy it back from the hekdesh, then you have to do it. That you have to do it, having in mind that it's going to be brought as a korban. So it can't be that you're being poyed to use it for yourself, to use it for cholin purposes. It has to be you're buying it in order to actually bring it as a korban. Because the rule is shekola roi lemizbeach. Anything which is suitable to be brought as a korban on the mizbeach, any yotzim dem mizbeach la'olam, it never leaves the possibility of being brought on the mizbeach. So even though you only gave it Kedushas Domim, you only said this animal should be for Bedek Abayis, meaning that now we're going to say this animal, we're eventually going to figure out, is worth $1,000. So Hektish is going to earn $1,000 from it. Nevertheless, even though it's only Kedushas Domim, a niftin, they cannot be completely redeemed and become chulin because they're tahor. So that's what the Braisa says. So we see, in short, when an animal is tahor and able to be brought as a korban, then you cannot be poyed there. Now, says her papa, if Shmuel had known of that brisa, have a hoder bay, he would have changed his mind. So what was Shmuel saying? That you could be poida kodshim that are tahor. And if you do, then they have to go to the korban. But not like Shmuel was saying that you could be poured to them as long as they're tahor. And apparently Shmuel would be saying that they don't have to be brought on the mizbeach at all. Kedushim Amiyachasim LaRashba explains that on the contrary, you could prove from this brisa Shmuel's point, because we're saying that even though you could bring them as a korban, you're able to be poured to them, but you can only be poured to them to bring them on the mizbeach. So basically he's saying that the proof would be as follows. If you're telling me you were makdish on the Beit HaKabayis and it was only Kedushas Damim, nevertheless, if you're going to be poided, it is only to bring them as korbanos, how much more so when you have something that you actually were makdish on the korban, that you shouldn't be able to be poided even if it was only Kedushas Damim? And how is Shmuel saying then that with the menachos and whatnot, as long as they weren't placed in a klisharis, you could be poided them, when it seems that not, you should have to have the rule that once they're usable for the mizbeach, they have to remain that way. So the Gemara says Veloihi, but it's not so. In fact, Shmuel's din is not contradicted by this Braisa. Shmuel knew of this Braisa very well, Veloi Hadabay, but he still didn't change his mind. Because, what's the difference? Lav Amatosim, didn't we just say a few lines ago when it came to wood and Levoina, Kibin Dele Shifile Nifriti, because it's not so common to find ones that are suitable for the Mizeach, therefore the Chacham said you can't be Poydeh. Because we want to have, once we have good levoina or good wood that's available for the mizbeach, we would like to keep it that way. Hachanami, you could argue the same thing. Kimin deshchichi mumin to pass in the behema. After all, it's prevalent to have mumin that will pass on an animal. You have something like 73 mumin that will pass all that will pass on an animal. That's the bedukin shabayin. After all, even if you have a small mumin like dukin shabayin, which Rashi here and in many other places in Shas where it uses that, Rashi translates it by a French word tailor. Kailah, however it's pronounced, which means a curtain. So it means, in other words, like a film or a curtain or a membrane or something that grows over the eye. Some other mafreshim explain that dukin shva'ayin means the eyelid itself. So mumin dukin shva'ayin would mean a split in the eyelid. Whatever it is, you have even small mumin like that. Passel an animal for a carbon. Nami passel, they also passel. Hilkach lo shkichi. So you could argue by the same logic that an animal is considered lo shkichi. It's not as commonly available, and therefore for the same reason the chachamim are not going to want you to be poided. But now, in the menachos and nisachim, it's not so hard to find flour and oil and wine that are suitable for nisachim. Therefore, the chacham don't have to make that rule, and therefore Shmuel can still say that if they're tahor, as long as they weren't put in a kli shoris, then you can redeem them. So in other words, the Mishnah, so in other words, so far, what we're saying is the Mishnah divided up the things that it said that Ein Lehem Pidyon, and the Mishnah divided them into two groups, Menachos and Nesachim, versus birds, Eitzim, and Levona, and Klei Sharis. So that would be the difference. In other words, the Menachos and the Nesachim, you could in fact be put to them, Shmuel is saying, when they're tahor, as long as they weren't put in a klei sharis, because those are not so rare that you should not be able to. The rest of the things that I mentioned in the Mishnah, then you can't. In the case of Eitzim and Levoina and Klei Sharis, then we're not going to be able to be poured to them when they're tahor, but not because Midaraisa, but only Midarabanan because they're not so easily available. Okay. So all of that is Shmuel's opinion. Rav Kahana, now we have Rav Kahana has a different opinion. If they're tame, then you're able to redeem them. But if they're tahor, then you cannot be poured to them. So in other words, we're talking about, so before they were placed in a kli sharis, where Shmuel was saying you could be poured to these menachas and nesachim, Rav Kahana would say no. Before they're placed in a kli sharis, you can be poured to them and buy them back from Hekdesh and make them tulin only if they were never placed, only if they became tame and were not yet placed in a kli sharis. Rav Oshia says the same thing. That you can't be part of them as long as they're tahor. Another version is Amar Rav Oshia after the tahor and niftin. On the other hand, though, there is a different version that has Rav Oshia saying that even if they're tahor, they could be redeemed, which would be like Shmuel. So in other words, we definitely, Rav Kahana is disagreeing with Shmuel, whether Rav Oshia agrees with Rav Kahana or whether he agrees with Shmuel, there's different versions of what Rav Oshia is saying. Okay. Then we have yet another opinion. Rav Elazar Omer, Kulan, Tmei and Niftin, Tahoran and Niftin, all of them, there's going to be a distinction within the Menachas themselves. All of them, most Menachas, indeed, you can be part of them only if they became Tomei and were not yet placed in a Tisharis, Tahoran and Niftin, but not if they're Tahor, so not like Shmuel, Chutz Me'asir Se'efer, Shom Minchas Choyte, with the exception of the tenth of an Efer, the Isarin, that of a Minchas Choyte, where a person has done the one of the Averis that makes him required to bring a korban oil of the yored, and the lowest form of the korban oil of the yored, the cheapest one, if he's the poorest of the poor, is he brings a korban mincha without oil and without levina, just plain flour. So that one he's able to be poured even if it didn't become tamei. It says Rav Elazar Chare Omra Torah, because when the Torah describes the korban oil of the yored, it says that. It says the word mechatzot. So like this, you have three different. We know there's three different levels of korban oil of yored. If a person is rich, then he brings an animal as a chatzos. If he's poorer than that, then he brings two birds, one as an ola and one as a chatzos. And if he's the poorest of the poor, then he brings a mincha. Now, when the Torah tells us about the first two of them, when it talks about the animal and when it talks about the bird, the expression is that he brings the korban and he has a kapara mechatzot from his sin. And then on the other hand, if when it talks about the mincha, instead it says al chatosay, it says that he has a kapara on his sin. So now the drosha would be as follows: mei chatosay doesn't just mean from his sin; it means also from his chatos. Meaning, in other words, from the value, from the current value of his chatos, he can be bringing a cheaper chatos instead if his financial situation changes. So we darshan as follows. Rashi refers to that you can find this in Masechta Krisus, so we'll learn it next year, that's the Shem in its place. But the point is, in other words, that if suppose the person was rich when he did the Aveira, and he designated an animal for the korban. Now he became poor. So now Mei Chatosa, he's able to take this animal that he was going to bring as a chatos and sell it and use some of the money to bring the next level, of mincha. And the rest of the money will be cholin. Now, by the mincha, which is the poorest of the poor, instead it uses the word al hatase to mean the other way around. That if he was poor when he did the aveira, and he set aside the asir seifa of flour, and now he became richer, now he can sell that flour, he can be poured to that flour, and take the money, and add to it more money to buy the birds or the animal, as the case may be. So therefore, here you don't have anything about the korban becoming tamei. So we see, therefore, says Rav Elazar, that here you have an exception to the rule that you could that you could in fact take a mincha which did not become tamei and be poured there. There is in fact some discussion about this. Here Rashi is saying that he actually designated the mincha. On the other hand, the Gemara in Krisus, when it talks about it, is talking about not where he designated the actual mincha yet, only the money for it. So they're different. How do we reconcile the two? How do we reconcile the two Gemaras? So we would say that ultimately it means that even that you could be poured to the actual mincha itself. So fine, Krisus, it doesn't mention that detail, but nevertheless that's how it would be. This is the Moshe of Skenim of a Pirushan on Chumash from the Baalei HaTosfos. It gives that explanation. Okay, in any case, the point is, so Shmuel would say this is true across the board. That's a Shmuel, and possibly Rav Oshia would say that this is true across the board, that any mincha that's tahor, as long as you didn't put it in the Kli Shoris yet, you could be poured it. Rav Elazar would tell us that no, that applies only to this unique case in Minchas Chayte, but otherwise, once it was designated as a mincha, then you can no longer be poured it when it's tahor, only if it becomes tamei and was not yet placed in a Kli Shoris. Not actually, strictly speaking, it's not only if it became tamei. You also have cases, for example, in Sota, as we're learning now, and during Sfira for Dafayomi during Sfira. So you have it mentions over there, for example, if let's say if at some point during the procedure the Sota, if the whole procedure is stopped, whether because at some point she says I don't want to drink the water even without giving a reason, or if at any point she says I'm tamei, so if the mincha was not yet placed in the Kli Shoris, then also we'll pour it and it goes out the cholin, because then it turns out there was no reason to bring it in the first place. Only once it was placed in a Kli Shoris, then you're going to have, as we're saying over here, that you can't be poured anymore. More on this topic about more on this topic of being poyder kochim. Amar Rav Oshia, shamaiti. I have heard from my rebbeim, says Rav Oshia, pigel mincha. If a person made a mincha pigel, so what he was doing, one of the avodas he had in mind, a thought of chutzas manoi, Rav Shimon. Well then, according to Reb Shimon, who is going to say, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that anything that's also bahana is not able to be mekabel tuma. So then, in that case, this mincha will not be able to become tomei with tumas oichlin either. As the Gemara is going to go on to say, if you can't give it to somebody else to eat, then it's not considered oichol, and therefore it can't be mekabel tuma. So, any time Chuma Sefman, the Tnan, or the Tanya, actually it's a Braisa, but Orla, the Kalaya Kerem, Orla, which is also Bahana, and Kalaya Kerem, which is also Bahana, the Shura Nisa, all these things that we're going to list are all also Bahana, the Shura Nisa, an ox that had to be stoned because it killed somebody or because somebody committed bestiality with it. Now Rashi points out, we're talking about when you shefted it after Gemar Din. If you didn't sheft it, If it was actually killed by skilla, then of course it's metame. Then in fact it's not just metame tumas oichlin. Then it has a more severe tumas nevela, because now it's a dead animal that was not shefted. So what we mean is that there was a gemara din at which point it becomes also bana, and then you sheft it. The gemara mentions in various places that we learn from a pasuk that it's also have hana from it. With that said, as Sassemis points out, you can have, let's say, for example, a ben pkur. We're going to learn in a few months, Bez Hashem and Fulin. You have a case where you shechted an animal and found a baby in its womb, and then the din is that now if you shechted the mother, it's considered as though the baby was shechted, and now later on, that baby itself, when it grows up, you don't need to shecht it. So then we could be talking about, let's say, for example, that this baby grew up and killed somebody. So now it doesn't need shechita in the first place. So therefore, it wouldn't become tamei tumas nevela. But nevertheless, we're saying that. Reb Shimon is going to say that the Tanakama is going to say it is matana tumas oichlin, and Reb Shimon will say that it's not. So that's sure on this. The egla rufa, again, Rashi explains that it means that you brought it to the Nahal Eisan, you brought it to the valley where it's going to be decapitated, and then somebody shefted it over there. Where Rashi mentions, based on other Gemaras, that we're talking about as soon as you bring it to the Nahal Eisan, it already becomes also Bahana. So even if you shefted it at that point, instead of decapitating it, it's still also Bahana. Tosfos points out that another possibility actually is you could say that based on Tosfos refers to a Gemara and Zvachim that we learned a while back that since the mitzvah there was to decapitate it rather than shechting it, then that takes away Tumas Nevela, and therefore so now you're just talking about regular, is it considered food and is it Metame Tumas Nevela? Anyway, so those, but Tzipora Mitzvah, then you have the birds of a Mitzvah, and they're not really birds in plural. Not really birds in plural. You have one bird that is shechted, and that bird is supposed to be, you use the blood of it for the taras and mitzvah, but you don't, you have to bury it, and you have to bury it, and it's also bahana. You have other gemaras in other places. Actually, we're going to have, further on, we're going to talk about at what point it's actually metami. A petach hamor, which you're supposed to redeem by giving a sheep to the kohen, but if instead you didn't, the Torah tells us, being lois gifted our after. So now again, if you weren't poyder, and again, not that you decapitated it, but rather if now you killed it some other way and gave it to a goy to eat. It never had Tumas Nevela, so Rashi would point out, we're talking about, let's say, that the animal is still moving around. Rashi refers to a Gemara in Cholin, which again we'll have in a few months, Bez Hashem, that if a person shechts a non-kosher animal for a goy to eat, so say, for example, a person takes a donkey. We Jews are not allowed to eat donkeys, of course, but a goy is. So now, let's say you shechted a donkey for a goy, if the animal is still moving around, so it doesn't yet have Tumas Nevela, but it does have at that point Tumas Oichlin, it's already considered food. So all of those things, but it's still, it's also bana. If it was a petra chamer, it's also bana. and all of those things, kulamatam and chumas oichlin, all of those things are, still have the tumah of food. Because even though they're also banah, the fact is they are edible, and therefore they would have the tumah of, therefore they would have the regular tumah of food. So if they become wet with one of the shiva mashkin, then they're able to become tame, and they're able to transmit tumah to other food. Reb Shimon and Makulan ain't matam and tumas oichlin. Reb Shimon says they cannot be matam and tumas oichlin. Because they're not considered food. There's other cases of also ba'anah as well. You have also chometz for Pesach, but you have an opinion that chometz for Pesach is actually mutar ba'anah. We usually understand that chometz for Pesach is also ba'anah, but there is an opinion of Rabbi Yosi Agrimi that says that it's mutar. So the Mitzvah Esim points that out, and there's other ones as well that we can talk about why they're not listed. In any case, Rabbi Shimon says they're not matanah. Chometz Eichlin. Because he's going to go on to explain, it's also banah, because you can't give it to somebody else to eat. And the Braisa continues, a murder of Shimon, Bosa B'cholov, Shematama Tumas Eichlin. Now Reb Shimon will agree when it comes to Bosa B'cholov, which is also banah, that nevertheless it will be Matama Tumas Eichlin, Hoyobahoisloi Shasa Kosher, because after all, it had a time when it was mutter banah. It was meat and separate milk and meat, and they were mutter banah. So therefore, Reb Shimon says the fact that you cooked them together and made them also banah is not enough to take away the possibility of Tumas Eichlin. In fact, Rashi points out, after all, even when you put meat and milk together, even if you soak the milk, the meat and milk all day, midaraisa will not become also only when they're cooked together. So even when you put them together, they still can't be considered, that the combination of them still is not also b'hana until they're actually cooked. And the Gemara continues, "V'omer Abasi, omer Abiyathan, my time of the Reb Shimon, why does Reb Shimon say that the fact that it's also b'hana prevents it from becoming, from having Tumas Eichlin? Because the Pasuk says, Mikola Oichol Asher Ye'ochol, the Pasuk says, any food that can be eaten is able to be Mekabel Tumah, which we can learn from that. Oichol Shachol Ye'ochol Achilo Acherim, food that you're able to give to other people to eat, Kori Oichol, is considered food in Halacha. Oichol She'iyat Ye'ochol Achilo Achilo Acherim, but food that you're not only able to give to others to eat, because it's also banah, any kind, so you can't even give it to a goy, any kore oichol, that's not called food. And Rav Oshia continues, v'hod pigul v'minchadami, oichol shiyat yochal achil l'achayim hu. Now, if you made a mincha pigul, then it's also food that you can't give to others, because it's possible, and you have to burn it. By the same logic, it's not considered food, according to Reb Shimon, and therefore you wouldn't be able to, and therefore it wouldn't be Makabel Tumah. So the point is, in other words, Oshia is saying, therefore, that, as he said at the bottom of the previous Amud, that appointed of Shimon, I heard from my Rebbein that there's a mincha that's pigul won't be the Tamar Tumas Eichlin, it'll be in the same category as this whole list that we had in the Braisa. Well, if you want to ask Yehochi Bosa B'cholov Nami, then in that case, by Bosa B'cholov, also, typically, why does Reb Shimon have to say that the reason I agree that it's Makabel, that it's Matamah Tumas Eichlin, is because it had Shasa Kosher, typically, the Oichol Shasa Yochol Achel L'Achem. You should say that there's another reason why it's Makabel Tumah, because according to Reb Shimon, you are able to give it to others. When we always learn that Bosa B'cholov is also Ba'anah, that would be according to the Chachamim, not according to Reb Shimon. The Tanya, as we learn in Abdaisa, Reb Shimon, Yehuda Omer Meshum Reb Shimon, regular Reb Shimon that we're talking about in the Sugya, we hear Reb Shimon ben Yechoi. He had a Talmud, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, and Reb Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of his Rebbe, Reb Shimon, Bosa B'cholov also b'achilu mutar b'hanah. That's actually, it is also to eat, but it is mutar b'hanah. Shenemar, because the Pasuk is, Ki am kodesh atal Hashem alekecha, you are a holy nation to Hashem, lois levashul di b'chalevim, right? So do not cook a kid in its mother's milk, which includes the whole concept of Bosa B'cholov. We learn from that Pasuk. Now you have a different passage that also refers to the fact that we're holy Jews, and therefore we have rules about what we can eat and what not, what we can't eat. The passage is, "Anshe kodesh tiyumli, you should be holy people to me." Or bosava soda treifa loisechelu, meat that was torn in the field, or in general meat of animals that are treifa loisechelu, you're not allowed to eat it, then you have to throw it to the dogs. Now you throw it to the dogs, meaning it's mutar b'hanah. Malahalan also ba achilu mutabahana. So there, it's also to eat, but it is mutabahana, because when we said akela tashlichu noisei, means you could even give it to a dog that you own. So instead of buying other food for the animal, you can give it the tsefa, you can give it to an animal that you own that's tsefa. So it's mutabahana. Afkan, the same thing, says Rav Shimon Yehuda, in the name of Rav Shimon, also ba achilu mutabahana, the Torah is telling us you're not allowed to eat basa b'chalav, but you are allowed to have hana from it. Now in the Chulin, the Gemara explains that when we say that it is also Bahana, and then Tanakama holds that way, and then that is the halacha. There's a different reason for that. There's a Zera Shava involved. There's a Kavachomer involved, but Reb Shimon disagrees with those points. The Gemara mentions in Cholin that Isi, that a Tana named Isi learns uses this Zera Shava to say that each of them is also to eat, and then the fact that it's also Bahana would be a Kavachomer, whereas Reb Shimon would hold that not. Ain Zera Shava the Matzah, you don't know Zera Shava. You tells us to apply everything, and therefore it would mean that you learn from the Zera Shava that both of them are also to eat. And both of them are also to, and both of them are mutter to have hana from. Therefore, so the point of Shimon, Bas B'cholav is mutter b'hana. So what is he saying? You know why it's damaged Mas Earthland? Because it had Shasa Kosher, because there was a time when that meat and milk, or even that mixture of meat and milk was mutter b'hana. Reb Shimon himself holds that anyway, even if it was cooked together, it's mutter b'hana. So the answer is, yeah, that's what he means. Chodah v'oid plama. Reb Shimon is saying two points. He's saying one and another. Number one, chodah oichol shati yochol la'achil la'achem. De'oichol shati yochol la'achil la'achem. Number one, he holds that you are in that. You are allowed to have hana from it. Therefore, it doesn't follow the rule of the whole list that he gave over here of Orla and Kalai Kerem and so forth, which are in fact osab hana. It is in fact mutab hana, so therefore on those grounds it can be considered food. And v'oid. And another reason, libyidei nami, even for Yisrael himself, it had a shasa kosher. It had a time when it was mutter to him, and therefore we can. Therefore, that's another reason to say that it would be makabel truma and able to transmit truma seichel. So all the other ones, Ola and Kalai Kerem, became also right when they grew. Petachamor is also from when it's born until you're poydet, and if you weren't poydet, then va'arachter, then you have to decapitate it. The Shodan Mitzvah is not considered Hoysaloi Shasak Kosher. And the same thing with Tzipora Mitzvah. Now, it's true, of course, this was until now a normal animal or normal birds, but the fact is that in general, a live animal is also to eat. You anyway can't eat a live animal until you sheft it, and when you shefted it, then it got a new status, but now at this point, then at that point, it's already a Shura Nisbol, it's a Purim Mitzvah, and therefore it's also Bahana. So it can't be considered that it had Shasa Kosher. And after all, when it was alive, it's not able to be Makabal Tuma either. Live animals are not able to be Makabal Tuma. So Reb Shimon can still say that there was Shasa Kosher, but that would be a secondary reason. The primary reason is because, in fact, according to him, Basa B'cholav is Mutar B'hana. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hechi Domin, Delo Shasa Kosher. Okay, well, what is the case then that, sorry, I skipped a little bit. So that's the difference. Well, the Gemara says, Meisvi, now I have a contradiction on this from another Braisa. Reb Shimon, I mean, yesh noser shum etamet shumas oifan. So again, let's go back to Reb Oshi had said that according to Reb Shimon, a mincha that became kegel would have the same rules. Now, Meisvi, Reb Shimon, I mean, yesh noser shum etamet shumas oifan. Sometimes there's noser left over from a korbanus past, from a korban past the time, that is metamet shumas oifan. The yesh noser shayin metamet shumas oifan, and then there is noser that's not. By the way, the Gemara does mention elsewhere in Psachim that midrabanan noser makes a person's hands tamei, because the Gemara explains over there there's two reasons. You have people who are lazy and don't finish eating kodshim in time, so this way if they know that their hands are going to become tamei from it, koyanim especially, they have a responsibility to remain tahor, then they'll be careful not to allow it to become noiser. The other reason is because people maybe choshed them that they're going to eat it after the zman. Whatever the case, actually, as I mentioned, two different things. The fact that they're lazy is with noiser. The fact that there's a potential chashad is something else that has to do with pigle was also the time of a person's hand. But here we're talking about tumas. Anyway, here we're talking about tumas. So the Sefer Shimon says it depends. Sometimes no sirs, matama tumas oflin. So the Eshin Oser Shein matama tumas oflin, and sometimes not. Ketzan lon lifnei zrika. If the korban was left over before the zrika and it became possible because you have to do the zrika the same day as the korban was shechted, and otherwise it becomes possible by winner. Ain matama tumas oflin. Then it says Reb Shimon, the meat of that korban is not going to matama tumas oflin because again there was no shasa kosher. Again, it was also to eat while it was alive, because an animal before it's shechted is also to eat anyway. And now it didn't have shasa kosher because it's only going to be able to be eaten once you sprinkle the blood. And like this, you didn't end up sprinkling the blood. La'achar zrika, but if after zrika and if it was left over, metame tumas oichlin. Then Reb Shimon says it will be metame tumas oichlin because now it had shasa kosher. So now the Braisa continues. Upigul ben the kotchin kotchin ben the kotchin kalan and the kotchin kalan ain matama tumas oflin. Now if it became pigul though, then whether it's kotchin 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 or kotchin kalan, then it's not matama tumas oflin because. Again, it never had shasa kosher because in order for it to be pigul, as we've learned in the Zvachim and in our Masechta, in order for it to be pigul, it has to be that one of the four avodas was done the psul, and that by the time the zrika or the burning of the koimitz was done, it already became pigul, so it never had shasa kosher. Pigul mincha matama tumas oflin, but when it comes to a mincha though, if he made it pigul, it is matama tumas oflin, says the Braisa. So we see that it is matama tumas oflin, and Reb Shimon had said, and Reb Oshia rather had said that according to Reb Shimon, it's not. So in other words, how would Reb Oshia understand that he said at the beginning of the discussion that Reb Shimon would say that a mincha that became pigul is not matama tumas oflin? We're here, we see clearly in the Braisa that it is. Tosfos points out that the shasa kosher of basa mechalav means, let's say for example, like Rashi had said, you soaked the meat in milk, and nevertheless it didn't become osa b'hana because you didn't cook them together. So therefore, now this kind of shasa kosher the mincha did not have before you were machlish. Of course, the flour was mutter and the oil was mutter beforehand, but once you mix them together to make a mincha, it didn't have shasa kosher because you can't eat it until the koimetz is offered, and now it became pig. But the point is, Reb Shimon is saying that is clearly saying in this Braisa that it is matama tumas oflin. Reb Oshia had said Reb Shimon would say not so. And the answer is like Kasha, kan shahoysa la shasa kosher, kan shahoysa la shasa kosher. Well, that's exactly the distinction. Did the mincha have shasa kosher or did it not? So what does that mean? Hechi domen de la hoysa la shasa kosher. How is a mincha not able to have shasa kosher? The answer is that the shinim b'machubar. Suppose that the owner was makdish the wheat while it was still attached to the grain. So it never became, so now the difference is, in other words, an animal is not able to be makabal tumah when it's alive and it's not considered food yet because you can't eat it until it's shechted. But the difference is that but here where wheat is attached to the ground, so it never became food yet while it's attached to the ground. It's not considered food. It's not makabel tumah yet. So therefore, so now you can have that never had shasa kosher. Well, we want to ask for the fakinu. Well, still, so what? You would be able to be poyder before you put it in a klisharis. You'd be able to. Now, all this time we're dealing with Reb Oshia's statement. So let's see if we can make this work with what Reb Oshia said before. So it works out according to the first version of what Reb Oshia said, where we said on Amar Aleph that according to the first version, he agrees with Reb Kahana that when a mincha is tahor, even if it hasn't been placed in a klisharis yet, it's too late to be poyder it. Well then, in that case, shatter, then it's good. Because then, since you were makdish this wheat for the mincha before it was placed in a klisharis, but never while it was still growing in the ground, nevertheless though, it's still tahor. And therefore, according to that version of Reb Oshia, you cannot be poyder. So that would explain then why we can consider that this mincha did not have shasa kosher, because there was never a time when you would actually be able to to be poyder. Svasemis points out that, wait a minute, it's still, we learned on Amar Aleph that it has to be roi for the mizbeach. Raw wheat is not roi for the mizbeach yet. So he says, fine, we're talking about over here, that he was makdish when it was wheat, and by now it's been turned into flour. Anyway, So according to that version, Shaffer, then good, we understand. Sort of Oshie is being consistent. He's saying there is a case, and then we can understand Reb Shimon's opinion. There's a case where Mincha did not have a Shasa kosher. Reb Oshie says you can't redeem it because it's still Tahor, it hasn't become Tamei. So therefore you can say that because of that also, if this Mincha ended up becoming Pigel, it never had Shasa kosher. There was never a time when that wheat, when that flour was edible, and without it being offered as a proper mincha, and therefore it can be considered it didn't have shasa kosher, and therefore it's not matama tumasotim. Elo lahachlishna the amar afilu tahurin niftin, but the other version of Rav Oshie's statement that he agreed with Shmuel and said they can be redeemed even when they're tahur. So what do you mean they didn't have shasa kosher? Lifrakinu, so then you redeem the grain or the flour before you put it in a kli shoris, and therefore it had shasa kosher. You had the ability to do that. The answer is fine. The Gemara says, hash the meal part. The fact is, you weren't part of it, so therefore it didn't have shasa kosher. Potentially, you could have brought it to have shasa kosher, but the fact is, you didn't. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, fine, but if you're able to be part of it, Nela, if you say you can't be part of it, fine, it doesn't have shasa kosher. But if you say that you could conceivably have been part of it, and therefore it should be considered. But the fact is, you weren't part of it, therefore it didn't have shasa kosher. The problem is, given the very part of it, given that you would have been able to be part of it, Shamin and Leib Reb Shimon, then we find the very Reb Shimon that we're talking about, the Omar, that he says, he says, you have something that could have been redeemed, it can be considered as though it was, to the extent where it can be considered that it had shasa kosher. In general, we're going to have, we're going to learn the Gemara tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that there are other things like that also, that he says, where there's a mitzvah to do something, you can consider it to a certain extent as though it was already done. Something that needs a kodshim, that needs to be burnt, to a certain extent can be considered as though they're already burnt. The blood that had to be sprinkled can be considered to a certain extent as though it was already sprinkled, not that you don't have to sprinkle it, not that you don't have to burn it, but in other words, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, as we're going to learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, it has certain implications in halacha for the status of the thing. So one of those, Reb Shimon holds that as a source opinion. The Tanya, as we learned in a Brice, Reb Shimon Omer, Pora Matama Tuma Sarathan, the Pora Adroma, once you shechted it, is able to be Makamal Tuma of food. Now, on the face of it, why it's also Bahana, the only thing you're supposed to do with it after you shecht it is sprinkle the blood and then burn it as a Pora Adroma. Nevertheless, Reb Shimon says, Hoyu Vahoshala Shasa Kosher, because it had Shasa Kosher, it had a time when it was Mutter to eat. And what does that mean? On the face of it, once you shechted it as a Pora Adroma, you're not allowed to. No, because of Omer Shlokish, so the Shlokish explains, the reason is because Reb Shimon holds Pora Nifkes al Gav Ma'arachta, the Pora Adruma can be redeemed and brought back from Hekdesh, even if it's already on the pile of wood where it's going to be shechted and burned over there. So Reb Shimon says, even then, you could still be poured to the end. It's considered Kodesh Benedonius. And you can buy it back from Hekdesh like anything else that has the din of Kodesh Benedonius. The Tosfos refers over here to a very, very long Tosfos they have in Bava Kamma, the Omer in Bava Kamma. There's a few places in Gemara where it brings the statement about the Parah. One of them is in Bava Kamma, and it forms over there actually the shortest Omer in the entire shaft. It's only a line and a half, because most of the page is taken up with an enormous Tosfos over there that discusses the ins and outs of this whole matter of being able to redeem the Parah Adron. So Hoysa Lashasa Kosher, we're talking about actually Tosfos explains over there, we're talking about actually that you already shechted it and sprinkled the blood. But the fact is, it had shasa kosher, namely after you shechted it before you did the hazar. And Tosfos discusses at great length and discusses various ins and outs about. In any case, the point is, you see that the fact that you could have redeemed it, and the fact is you didn't. You did end up shefting it, and you're starting to do the avodah of the parah adroma. Nevertheless, Reb Shimon would say it's matama tumas ha'eflin, because conceivably you could have redeemed it. So the same thing over here. This mincha could have been redeemed according to the other version of Reb Oshie. So how can we say it never had shasa kosher, and therefore say that Reb Shimon's rule when it didn't have shasa kosher that when it, that there's a difference between the toser or shasak toser and not. Whether it's the tamat from a seifa, a horns and a boshia, once we consider Rav Shimon's view of if you could redeem it, it's considered as though it was, then you don't have a distinction anymore between hosel or shasak kosher and not. And how could Rav Oshia say, according to Rav Shimon, that this mincha that became pigle will not be able to be metamet to Masoichlin? What would you say? It should be considered as though it had shasak kosher because you did have a time when you could have redeemed it. Well, the Gemara says the distinction is Hochi Hashta. How are you thinking to compare it? Bishlema Parah. You know about the Parah Adrim of why you would say that? A medicine policy. The fact is, it is very likely that it is going to be redeemed. She Motzach Teres Nahimena. Because if you found a nicer animal for the Parah Adrim, Mitzvah of Teresa, there is in fact a mitzvah to redeem the original one and use the money to buy a nicer one. So therefore you can consider it to be ready to be nifted. And therefore we can consider, even if you weren't actually poide, Rav Shimon would consider as though you were. Halachani menachas, but you're talking about over here, menachas, mitzvah lefidoisan. Is there a mitzvah to redeem it? If you find nicer, nicer grain, is there a mitzvah to redeem it? In fact, the Rebbeinu Gershom points out, we learned before, the menachas as it is have to come from the best quality, grain. So there isn't going to really be something better quality that you can find. But Asanas gives a different point as well. Listen, the mincha was already, the mincha is kosher, even if it's not enim and amulfa. The fact is, you already makdish the flour, and therefore you don't want to be kosher, as opposed to the parah adumah. So it's not even really a korban, so therefore you should bring the best possible one. So there is in fact a reason to distinguish, to say by menachos, there's no particular reason that you should think that you're going to be poideh, there's no, even if you find a better one, and therefore we can say that menachos, we can say as long as you weren't poideh, then it's not considered that they had, we don't take into consideration the fact that there was a shasa kosher that you could have redeemed them, and that therefore we should consider that as if they were redeemed and call it that it had a shasa kosher. We're not going to do that. But the parah adumah is different because in fact you would do that. So we'll continue the discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and continue this about this matter of shasa kosher and not, and then and this whole matter of the mincha that became pigle and all the dinim of that.